Well, this pandemic could put the squeeze on some landlords as tenants struggle to pay their rent. My next guest thinks that could be a blessing in disguise. Steve Pomeroy is a housing consultant and senior research fellow for the Center for Urban Research and Education at Carleton University. He hopes governments will snap up some of those properties and offer them to nonprofits to create affordable housing before they're purchased by real estate investors, hoping to boost the rent to make a profit. Steve Pomeroy is on the line with us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Giacomo.
So why is this the right time for governments to invest in real estate?
Well, I think, it's timely in the sense that there may be, as you indicated in your intro remarks there, that because of the inability of some households to pay their rent, that some smaller landlords might be stressed and be, therefore forced to sell the property. And then the issue really has been around for 20 years, and we've seen a significant expansion of large capital funds and real estate investment trusts buying moderately priced rental housing for the express purpose of adding it to a portfolio of rental properties where they actively seek to increase the rents to increase the yield to investors. So it's a very market-driven kind of process. But the consequence of that is that we're losing an awful lot of relatively affordable rental housing, which is the place where poorer, lower-income folks live. So it's a serious policy challenge. And so given that the issue is being driven by the purchase of these assets by large capital funds, there are some folks who are suggesting we need to try and regulate those purchases. A parallel strategy would be to sort of play the same game and for the federal government to enable the nonprofit sector who have traditionally provided affordable housing to purchase some of these assets. And by them owning them, they'll preserve the rents rather than trying to drive the rents higher.
So just to clear up that part for the background here, because they're called REITs, REIT, and the capital funds?
So it's real estate investment trusts and large capital equity funds. So it's basically big organizations that do private equity investment on behalf of high wealth investors, have large pools of cash, and real estate investment trusts are just a particular version of that, where they're expressly involved in investing in real estate, not just rental, but commercial malls, office spaces, those types of things.
But why has that been problematic for affordable housing?
Well, between 2011 and 2016, the two census, if we look at the number of rental units in this country with rents below $750 a month, which would be affordable to someone on an income of $30,000 or less, which is kind of a proxy for the lower income group, we lost over 320,000 units from that price range. Some of those were lost in absolute terms because the buildings were knocked down and redeveloped. In other cases, in most cases, the rent simply went to a higher level. And that higher level rent was being pushed by these purchasers because they were really trying to increase their revenues. And because rent regulations, particularly Ontario and a few other provinces, allow for a thing called vacancy decontrol. So if the same tenant stays in the unit, the rents only can increase by a rent guideline close to the rate of inflation. But when the units turn over, they can go up at a much higher rate. And indeed, in Ottawa last year, we saw the average market rent between 18 and 19 went up by 8%. But for those units that have been vacant, they went up by 18%. So this is really causing a loss of very affordable stock. And the consequence for government is, as they're trying through the National Housing Strategy to address affordability issues, increase the supply of affordable housing, for every new unit they're building under the affordable housing programs, we're losing 15 units through this process of market-based erosion of that affordable housing stock.
So how would this look in Ottawa here if you were controlling this? Is it the federal government, provincial government, the municipal government? They go and buy these buildings?
Yes. Well, basically, someone's got to fund it. And so the obvious candidate for that is the federal government, who's delivering the National Housing Strategy anyway. But certainly you need to do it at a local level. So I'm actually working with the Ottawa Community Foundation, where we're trying to set up an acquisition fund with direct investment from the foundation and ideally attracting some social investors, social impact investors to invest in a fund. They would go out and buy, and let's say there's a 20-unit modest building for sale. They would use the funds to go and purchase it and then turn around and go and talk to the federal government and say, we now need to access one of your funding programs to give us the $5 million we just spent to put it back in the fund so we can keep on doing this kind of thing. I mean, one of the issues is we would certainly look to the federal government to fund it, But in terms of purchasing these existing assets, you have to be able to move quite quickly and quite nimbly, which is not a characteristic of government-funded programs where you have to go through an application process. So we're trying to kind of create a bridge, the ability to be nimble and quick and through the foundation-based acquisition fund, and then repatriate that money from a federal government program, which we're trying to get the federal government to put in place. And then the foundation would, because they would recover that money within a year, they could then go out and use it again to buy additional properties. So it tries to accelerate that process.
But you'd be going against the market here, these big capital funds, these big trust funds. What kind of impact do you think this could actually have for affordable housing in a city like Ottawa?
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair question. And I think, you know, if we look at the sort of ambitions of the National Housing Strategy, where the federal government is trying to add 15,000 new affordable housing units across the country each year, some of the modeling we've looked at suggests that we could probably, with funding from the federal government and perhaps some assistance from the provinces as well, we might be able to acquire 10,000 units. So that's two-thirds of the federal government's goal of new additions. So if either on top, instead of doing 15,000, we would have 25,000. And these would be properties that the rents wouldn't go really low, but we would basically, if they're already renting below the average market rent, we would, by purchasing them, holding them in a non-profit scenario, the rents would continue to remain below market and remain relatively affordable. So it would make a valuable contribution in that respect. In terms of the number of units that the capital funds, the REITs, are buying, they've grown. They now own about 10% of the rental stock in the country, and that's grown from nothing in the mid-1990s. So they're up to about almost 300,000 units over 20 years. So that's about 15,000 units a year. So it's kind of getting into, not quite to the same level, but it would certainly help, and certainly targeting the properties that are more modest rent levels.
Well, Steve, thank you very much for sharing your plan with us here. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, Duncan. Okay, take care.
Steve Pomeroy is a housing consultant. He's also a senior research fellow for the Center for Urban Research and Education at Carleton University.